Hi, I'm Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of insights and published magazines where visionaries and those on the rise meet to create instant impact. And I am so thrilled today because I have with me Marshawn Evans. Marshawn is a global mentor and catalyst for women looking to launch their dreams, expand their brand, and live their purpose. A former Miss America beauty queen, turned Donald Trump apprentice, turned Georgetown University law center trained sports and entertainment lawyer. She equips audiences with a purpose-centered playbook, not just a pep rally. Admitted to practice before the U.S. Supreme Court, she has been featured in Essence, Glamour, USA Today, Fox News, Christian Living Magazine, USA Today, CNBC, the list just goes on and on and on. And she's a regular commentator for CNN, Fox Business Channel, Black Enterprise, Pink Magazine, and ESPN. She is the founder of Me University, the ultimate branding boot camp, the industry's premier summit for equipping entrepreneurs and executives to modernize and maximize their brand. Her corporate clients have included Rolls-Royce, Tiffany & Company, Delta Airlines, HP, McDonald's, Nike, and numerous NFL, NBA, and WNBA players. Marshawn authored Skirts in the Boardroom, a woman's survival guide to success in business and life, hitting number one on Amazon.com in business, woman in business category multiple times. Marshawn, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to speak with a woman who is a bona fide skirt in the boardroom like yourself.
Well, thank you so much. Well, I know you have been inspired by so many wonderful things that we just shared in your life. What inspires you to write?
I think the number one thing that inspires me to write is purpose and a sense of responsibility. I think when you're given a lot of opportunity, it's incumbent upon you to make sure that other people know how to do that as well. And I think if we don't, to not write is to be selfish, in my opinion, because everyone has a purpose in terms of why they're here on earth. And when you're able to pass that on, that really becomes the legacy. And we can't do that without writing. And so I'm really driven to write because it is a manifestation, an extension, and an application, really, of living your purpose in every area of your life. I think writing is really key.
So, you know, with this great passion and intention that writing is so important for everyone to express themselves and contribute, how do you hope your writing and how have you found your writing inspires others?
The first part of what you said, could you say that again?
I was saying because you find writing so important, such an important contribution for everyone to be involved in, for you personally, how do you find your writing inspires others, or how do you hope to inspire others with that expression?
I know my divine purpose in life is to help others find their divine purpose. So I can't do that unless I can communicate with people and share that message. And there are so many ways that we receive information. When I'm speaking with people in the marketplace, at entrepreneurs or at colleges or conferences around the world, I always say that communication is the number one factor that determines how much money you stand to make throughout your lifetime. And I really believe that. And so sometimes it's the financial driver that gets people's attention. But what really makes what you have to say valuable is that it's an authentic expression of what you truly believe. And if we had more people who could say what they really, what really in their heart, we find that most of us are actually encouragers more than we realize. But we haven't decided to see ourselves in that way. So I utilize my writing, my communication, my messaging to help people unlock their potential, to help people see the possibilities for themselves and to understand that their dreams are given to them not to be longed for but to be lived. And I can say that, but it's not enough to only be able to speak well. And I'm a speaker. I've had a speaking business for over 10 years, and I can't take my spoken words with me when I leave Earth, but I can leave the things that I have written as a piece to be able to pass down to other generations. It's something I leave for my family. It's something I leave for the people that I feel that I'm called to serve. And so I utilize writing to inspire by helping to unleash and unlock and people to awaken the dreams that are within them that have been lying dormant for too long. And that's something that can extend beyond myself if I write it down. And, you know, one other thing is, as human beings, we're physiologically only capable of retaining so much information based off of what we hear. Studies show we only retain 7%. And 93% is visual and vocal in terms of how things sound. And so we're not naturally designed or wired to be able to remember information. And so I think it's even physiologically, it's important, biologically, just the way that we're designed and wired, it's important to write, to learn the skill of writing, and to look at it as something that all great men and women have all been writers. When we look at Mother Teresa, we didn't know about her great works unless it had been written about, or we're able to still hear and recite and share her words of inspiration to this day, but those were written down. And so we each have that ability to be legacy makers now based off of writing down the good things that are already in our hearts.
That is so beautiful, and I can just hear how passionate when you're describing it you are about writing and the importance of it. I was curious, how do you get people in touch with that unique authenticity that they truly own so they can express it? Is there one primary way or one primary point you'd like to make for people to be able to get in touch with that?
I would, and you know, really, women and men struggle with this in different ways and for different reasons. Men don't write because they don't think they need to. Men don't write because they think they will remember it all. And it is not really, it's not really encouraged for men to be writers as communicators because men are not taught to be communicators. Women struggle with writing because they don't believe that their voice has value. And
oh, interesting.
Women struggle with that because of a sense of worth and feeling like, well, will anybody listen? What do I have to say? And women entrepreneurs especially struggle with this. And to me, your message is also tied to your profit center. The thing that you are uniquely designed to share with the world is also authentically and directly tied to where you are able, naturally able, to make the most money throughout your life. That's what I believe. So women, I think, struggle with money for the same reason they struggle with writing, is because they don't feel worthy of receiving income, and they also don't feel worthy that their voice has value, that people want to hear and listen. And I coach women, I call them women dreamers, not just entrepreneurs, because not every woman can even identify with the word entrepreneur and see herself in that way. But the first thing that we have to tap into is really making the mind shift into a place of value, worth, and calling. Like this message that I have is what I am called to share with the world. And it takes some time coming out of some pretty painful and challenging places. We hear a lot of negative messages, and you almost have to retrain your brain with affirmations, with coming into a real understanding of who you are. And it's not about really finding the message. It's about finding yourself. And when you find yourself, the message becomes clear. And usually the message is tied to things that we went through that were challenging, disappointing, even demoralizing sometimes. And that's where we find usually our deepest, realest self. And then from there, our message becomes just off the chain powerful. It's just, it transforms lives because you're able to talk from a place of transformation as well. And I think that's where everyone's real message is. It's about transformation. So it matures with time. It matures over time and with age and with life experience. But women struggle over the value issue. It's important to inspire and help women to realign and reawaken with who they really are. I think that's why I speak so much on purpose. Whenever you see your purpose, you see your value. And oftentimes we can't see our value because we've lost sense of what our purpose is. With men, they, more than anything, men have to be encouraged in the same way. But it's just a different focus because they don't really struggle as much with value as they do the ability to be able to contribute and to lead. And for men to see writing and sharing and their message as a part of male leadership is really what helps them to step into the role of being now a communicator and a messenger when they see themselves as leaders, because that's what men are, in my opinion, designed to be.
That is such an important differentiation, just beautifully stated. So when and why did you begin writing?
Well, I've always been, I will say this. When I was a young girl in elementary school, I didn't really like to do anything that I was told to do in terms of assignments in school. I was really quick. I wanted to get done. I wouldn't spend a lot of time making sure that all my homework is done correctly. And I didn't really see the value in writing because I didn't really see myself really as smart. I really saw myself as someone who wasn't designed to be in the honors level courses or to really challenge or push yourself. And that stigma, I was one of a very small handful of African Americans in my entire school. There were probably less than five in the whole school. And not seeing myself as smart really impacted how I saw myself academically, writing, and all of those things. And that began to shift for me. Actually, in fifth grade, I had a teacher by the name of Larry Eager, and his last name is E-G-E-R. And he told me one day something that nobody outside of my parents had ever told me, which was that I could be anything that I wanted to if I first believed in myself. And it's interesting because at the age of 10, it was like this light bulb came on, the switch was flipped, and all of a sudden I saw myself as someone full of possibility. And that started to show in my work academically. And I had teachers who would tell me, oh, you're a great writer, you need to take honors level courses. And because my mind reverted back to the little girl who wasn't smart, I wouldn't take those courses. I wouldn't challenge myself. And then when I was in my senior year of high school, I decided to it's weird and odd and kind of crazy because your senior year should be the year that you relax and rest and just enjoy the good life. But I decided to take all honors and AP courses and still graduated in the top percentile of my class with honors. And it was in that stage where I realized, you know, maybe I do have something to say and maybe I know how to say it well. And so that's really, for me, where the shift began. And even that shift doesn't mean it was instant for me. But it began an upward process of really growing into who I am and who I continue to become. And I think that's part of it. And sometimes people feel if they're not perfect at what they do right where they are, especially with writing, that just means they're not good at it. But for me, it's been like a muscle. Even when studying, I love the study of the Bible and teaching principles of wisdom from the Bible. For me, I've always read the Bible as a sermon or a message. I'm always journaling or writing, not in the sense of just taking notes for myself, but I write in the format of teaching, and I've done that since I was a teenager. And so I think for me, I had to see that, one, how I write, and I wouldn't have learned that if I wasn't sharing this with the world. This was just to myself. So I think I developed, one, from a sense of growing into a place of confidence, and then, two, awareness that started with me just journaling. And I always encourage women and men to do this. When you start journaling with yourself and you make it an intimate experience that you have between you and God, there's just a different level of richness that can attach to your writing. I think that's where you find your real writing style. And then when you share it with others, you become better at how to tweak it in a way that makes an impact with other people. And so I think it's a process, and for me it's been a process. But now I feel as though I have something of value to say. I embrace it. I have a confidence about it. It's a part of my calling. It's something I'm also designed to help other people see in themselves. And, you know, that was a big transition. And the last thing I'll say is that I think a lot of people don't recognize not just that they have something to say, but that they should be oftentimes compensated for what they share. And that was part of seeing myself that way was what enabled me to get a book deal with the largest business book publisher in the world, with John and Wiley and Sons. And when I was in law school, I hadn't started law school yet. I met a gentleman who was running a nonprofit law-related agency, and he asked me to write about juvenile justice issues. I competed in Miss America, and my platform was on helping kids stay out of trouble and youth crime prevention. And it was the first time that someone not only had asked me to write for a publication, but had said, how much do you want to be paid for it? And I had never thought about that before. And I didn't even think that someone would pay me to write something. But that was the first time that I recognized my voice had monetary value and that it could provide a life for me and for my future family. And I've never shifted back from there. And that's a huge thing to recognize. So I believe that people should see their voice as valuable in terms of richness of life, but also valuable in terms of a profitable life. And I really teach a lot about profitable branding, that people need to understand that life principles and financial principles can merge together in a way that is authentic and supports you having a life that is in line with your vision and desire.
You know, thank you so much, Marshawn, for sharing these powerful moments that just started this whole momentum in your life going with these wonderful teachers and people that have come into your life that just shared comments that were really life-altering, and now you're doing that for others. I think it's so amazing. What is your most powerful writing moment with that in mind?
I think my most powerful writing moment is the day that I wrote down my personal statement. Some people would call it a mission statement. It is something that I use as a compass, and it guides me and refocuses and recenters me. And I was in, I remember I was in D.C. I can't remember if I had started law school just yet, but I had just finished some meditation and praying time, and these words came to me about, here's what you are here to do on earth. This is why you exist. And I just immediately got up and I went, got my journal and wrote it down. And at the time, it was to accomplish all that God has predestined for my life with purpose, passion, and persistence, and to inspire others within a spirit of excellence to do the same. And for me, those words, if I had just tried, I probably wouldn't remember that if I just had to remember it and hadn't written it down. It's probably been the most powerful, and it's one sentence, but it is the most powerful sentence for my life, for my direction, for my decisions, for my integrity, and for my actions, for what I give. And so that, for me, is my most powerful moment. And in 2011, it was tweaked a little bit, and I recognized the difference in going through my 20s where my mission was to accomplish, and I was a striver and an accomplisher, I'm very competitive, I love to achieve, I love to set goals, meet them, surpass them, and that's really what my 20s was about, and that made sense when you listen to the first part of that mission statement, which is to accomplish all that God's predestined. But now, in this phase of my life, it's been tweaked, and I really felt God showing me that this is more about aligning with all that's been predestined and not so much accomplishing anymore. And so, although accomplishment can still come, I think for me it's been about making sure there's a lot of opportunities that you can take advantage of, but to align means that you're really where you're supposed to be, and I think that's the people that I'm called to speak to in this season need to be realigned as well. And so I go back to my journal, and I see those words, and I hear those words, and I replay those words over and over and over again, especially when I have a tough choice, especially when I'm thinking about a new business opportunity, even if I get a television opportunity, or because I get a lot of opportunities that would be fast, easy money that most people would not turn down, but if it does not align with those words that are written on those that paper, then it's not for me. And so those for me have been the that for me has been my most powerful writing moment, was getting my purpose and then also being able to put it to paper.
Oh, it's such a powerful message that you did create for yourself, and the ability then to be able to revisit that and be able to adjust that as we grow is another really, really important thing. And thank you for bringing that up. You know, that excellence that you speak of in your mission statement is definitely exhibited in your book, Skirts in the Boardroom. And I was wondering, is there a special message in that book that you really wanted your readers to grasp?
You know, Skirts in the Boardroom, the word skirts is actually an acronym. And it stands for Sisterhood, Knowledge, Integrity, Respect, Tenacity, and Substance. And there's tons of information about confidence, about even finding your own purpose. There's information on communication and how to be a power communicator, especially when dealing with men. Talks about leadership and branding and developing yourself in the marketplace. And all of those things are nuggets of wisdom that I wish a woman who was a mentor to me would have been able to pass down to me, but I didn't have that. So it was written from a place of sisterhood, and that's really the ultimate message is, as women, if the guys have had the good old boys network for a very long time, and it works very well, and women naturally tend to compete against each other. But when we root ourselves in a place of sisterhood, there's strength in that, and there is amazing wisdom that can cultivate and grow. And I have had to shift into this new place. So sisterhood was, I never in a million years would have thought that I would have written a book for women that was kind of clothed in pink, because I was a tomboy, I'm very competitive, and I honestly didn't have the greatest experiences working with women, and didn't plan to build a platform around helping cultivate and inspire women. I just, all my mentors had been male, and what I recognize is that often the thing that we run away from is actually what we're supposed to run to. And we're running from, I wasn't running from women, I was really running from the hurt that I had experienced, especially in the marketplace and with trust, and I was running away from that and didn't want to revisit it. But usually our attack points are really, that's where our designed place is really supposed to be, our intended place. So once I saw that and I realized other women were kind of going through the same thing where, you know, even when I was on The Apprentice, Donald Trump broke us into teams of men versus women. The women's team lost every single task as an all-women's team for the entire season except the one week I was project manager. And it was sad because we were just as capable, just as, actually I think in many ways more capable, more creative, and more able, but we're not able to get along. And it was a very defining, eye-opening like an eye-opening moment for myself, because I recognized, as women, if we don't learn the power in our sisterhood, in sharing, in working together, and really accomplishing collectively, then we all hold ourselves back more than we realize. And so that's the reason why I wrote Skirts, is I wanted to be the change that I wanted to see by starting to share the information that I wanted shared with me. And I've been blessed. I've been very blessed to experience some things that many won't experience in their lifetime. But I don't believe these experiences from being in Miss America, on The Apprentice, getting to do television, even going to Georgetown, I don't believe those things are for me, but they happen to me so that I can also show other people how they can activate those same types of experiences for themselves. And so sisterhood, to me, is a part of every woman's calling. And for me, Skirts in the Boardroom is my fireside chat with all of my sisters to be able to share, okay, ladies, here's what really works, here's what you have to do, and here's how we have to do it.
I just love that. And I know that you found so much a sense of achievement and fulfillment, you must, in writing that book. Can you share the most important tips with us for everyone listening to be able to really find achievement and fulfillment through writing, since it's such a passion for you?
To find fulfillment, well, I think fulfillment comes for different reasons for different people. And again, I think you really have to, you know, it's helpful to understand your purpose. For some people, it's very therapeutic. I think for most people, once you get into it, it's very therapeutic. But also to understand that you have an opportunity to give, and I think we're all called to serve. And if we look at our writing as service, I think that would change our perspective on whether or not it's something we should do. If you ask a dad what he wants to share with his son, he probably would have wisdom and information that he would want to pass down. And if you were to tell him that his son was incapable of remembering it but could only receive it and retain it and grow in it if it was written down and it was something that he would have to read over and over again, then I'm sure that father would change his perspective. He wouldn't just have talks with his son, but he would leave notes for his son, and he would pass it down in that way. And I believe that's what God does. He shares wisdom and information with us and puts it in a written form for us to be able to read, to reflect upon, and to go back to. And I think that's just what each of us are supposed to do. And I believe that that principle is a life principle. I also believe it's a marketplace principle. If you are looking to grow your brand and you're looking to expand your legacy and your influence in the marketplace, because I believe that's the highest dimension of your purpose. You have your life purpose, your leadership purpose, and then you mature into your legacy purpose, where now you're called to be a messenger and to impact people, to teach people. So you need a platform to do that. And learning how to write and accepting the mantle of a messenger means that you accept also the responsibility of becoming a great writer and sharing with others the things that they'll be able to pass down. And it's so much bigger than you. And so I think the motivation is different for different people. But I believe that we all have a desire to serve and to be of service to others. And I believe that writing is one of the greatest forms of service, and most people don't look at it that way.
It's interesting because you've referred several times to it not only being important from the standpoint of service and contribution, but also from the standpoint of leaving a legacy. And how have these things that you've just shared helped you with that, actually leaving a legacy? What do you see for yourself with that?
Well, who knows what it really looks like? I still feel pretty young to even think about I feel like I'm making a legacy more than anything, and that gives me confidence, and that's really what I strive for. And it does, though, there are gifts that you see in the process of building. When people write you or they tweet you on Twitter or leave a message on Facebook, they send you an email, they post on your blog, or send you something in the mail that says, wow, what you wrote in Skirts in the Boardroom on this page in this chapter changed my life, or just this one tweet that you shared. I think that social media now gives us a different form to be able to write and express. I believe I see I receive the rewards in the process of building. The more I share, the more I receive, the more I'm also inspired to be able to share more, and it's just this continual cycle. So I feel like I'm in a legacy-building stage, but I'm inspired because, for me, legacy is the only option. So I want to continue to stay in that cycle of sharing. And when you do that, you just inevitably receive. And I think it's important for us to receive. You know, some people don't talk about the importance of being affirmed and receiving good feedback, but every message, the car runs out of gas and stops and stalls if it doesn't have the proper fuel inside of it. And so we all need that back. And one of the ways I think I receive that back is when I share. So I get it back because I share. And it's just this great cycle, and to me, it's just a part of legacy building in the process. And also seeing people have financial breakthroughs when they understand the power that their voice has, and they were able to read that from, maybe it's from the profitable branding system that I teach through my university. So then to be able to read it, to go through it, for them to build their own platform in a way that is profitable and then to see them say, you know what, I was able to pay this off, or I was able to build this life, or I'm able to leave my job. And to me, that is not just me building my legacy, but, again, unlocking something in someone else so they can build their legacy, and there's a ripple effect. So those are great rewards to see in the process.
And no question, and your legacy has been so visible, especially to the media as well. Can you share with me a little bit about how that impact, that media relationship impact, what that's had on your career and on your writing as well?
I look at the media as a megaphone, and so it will either what is the best way to say this? It will expose, or it will elevate. And for those who, I think sometimes, especially when I look at reality TV, a lot of people just want to get on television, but if they have things that are still really broken in their lives, and we all have issues, but if there are certain things, sometimes you're not really ready for media. And if you are, though, and you've been diligent and you've built a solid foundation, media will really elevate you to another level, and it will give you it'll expand your influence. So it elevates and expands if you've done the preparation and the due diligence. And that's really what I teach with Me University, is not just how to get yourself placed in the media, because that's important. We teach a whole system on how to pitch the media, what's your right angle, what's your unique value proposition, how do you leverage it, how do you make sure that you're not just appearing on television or in news media outlets for just appearance sake, but also from a place of profitability, how do you leverage it and tie it in, how do you treat your media appearances like a business. And so that aspect of it, teach it all day. But even if I were to teach someone who wasn't ready, it would be a disservice to teach them how to do that. They get there, and then they lose it for the rest of their lives because they've not had the right foundation. So I really teach about making sure you have a purposeful and solid brand platform comprehensively, that you've got a business really in place that you can take advantage of the media. And for me, it's really helped because I've been able to reach more people. And it definitely gives you even more credibility. It gives you the ability to move into different circles. So the media can also be a tool that you use to go to the next level, to enter into different industries. But most importantly, I always look at it as a vehicle to have an impact.
Mm. Oh, beautiful. And I love that, the analogy of it being like a megaphone. That's so beautiful. So, Marshawn, tell me, how do you define writing success for yourself personally?
I think just saying what it is that I'm supposed to say and I think the authenticity is what makes it successful, and timeliness is what makes it successful and relevant. It's not about me writing just what I want to write about, because a lot of the things that I would want to write about might seem more marketable. But really writing about what I'm supposed to write about, and that ends up being timely, and it just changes lives, impacts people in a different way. So I shifted my focus, and, you know, over the past several years, I've spoken at a lot of companies, a lot of conferences, been able to speak around the world, and I had gotten very complacent in my message. I had the same corporate speech that I would use all the time, the same college talk, and it kind of shifted for me when I had a kind of an awakening, reawakening with my personal purpose statement. And I recognized that what I said every single time was an opportunity to not just receive compensation for my words, but to help awaken somebody else with where they need to be in their lives. And so it's changed how I look at writing. It's not just about writing what is marketable, but writing what I believe is necessary for people to shift into who they're supposed to be. And whether it's marketplace, whether it's life or faith or leadership-oriented, that's always now my focus. Am I saying what's authentic, but also what I believe will help someone shift into where they need to be in their life right now?
You know, Marshawn, I love the way success and your authenticity and purpose are so tightly woven together. And in every sentence that you express, it's so apparent that that's true. So you always have so much going on. Tell us what your latest news is.
Well, still very excited to be growing with Me University, and that's at MeUniversityLive.com. And we have, it's a fairly new initiative, but the growth has just been exponential in a very short period of time. So one of our signature events is our Business and Branding Boot Camp. It's an annual event. We have a lot of corporations that participate. People come from all over the world, and they come to learn how to align their purpose in a place of profitability in the marketplace, how to build a brand, how to become a messenger, how to take their dream to the next level. And it is something that I never expected to actually happen. I wrote down the university on a piece of paper in pencil as what I thought was going to be the name of my online bookstore on MarshawnEvans.com. Because my company is Me Unlimited. I send out Motivate Me daily affirmations. And this was just another Me extension. I did not plan or think that it would grow into becoming an international movement and inspiring people to actually start living their dreams. And so our Business and Branding Bootcamp is our signature event that people love to come to, but that's where I believe dreams start shifting into reality. And there's a lot of power in a live event. And so I always encourage people to stay in touch with what we have going on at MeUniversityLive.com, because there's not another place or another forum or platform quite like it.
Oh, that's so fantastic. So through this vehicle at MeUniversity.com, you're actually able to touch people from all over the globe with this fantastic message.
Yes, and that's the part even about learning to write online. If I didn't have that and didn't have our lessons and seminars and all of our other teleseminars and programs available, we wouldn't be able to attract people from Africa and Ireland and Italy and Mexico and all over the world. And so I love the internet and how it gives us the ability to really have an even bigger megaphone.
Yes, and Marshawn, your sense of purpose and the authentic way that you actually bring that to the world is just such a gift, and it's been such a gift to me and everyone listening this morning. I just want to thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Well, thank you for being a great messenger and for getting the good news out to people who need to hear it.
Thanks again. Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Marshawn. Oh, yes. Gosh, you're so